The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
What's coming up on today's experience? Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotionals become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show, which have nothing to do with life. But it's so great to be able to smile while you're driving, while you're listening on the radio, on the computer, on your app, and just go, hey, that's funny. It's just nice. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. You know, it'd be great if the news people would stop reporting about the news people. That would be kind of interesting. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use if we want to. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Best question we ever ask all of our shows. And then also Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more.
Living this life, not always easy.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon. I will be your host for the next 5,400 seconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to this show. We don't know what we're doing. Now, we've proven that 1,000 times. We have no idea what's going to happen. That is another promise. And we don't care all that much. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. That process of knowing that wherever you go and whatever you do, Jesus is living inside of you through the Holy Spirit. Jesus is in your heart by faith, and you are an ambassador of Jesus Christ no matter where you go, even on the freeway when somebody cuts you off. So we're asking you if you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question that you might be able to share that. Maybe a praise report, a prayer request, an answer to Bible trivia. Maybe you just have a question or want to share something about the Lord that he's doing in your life and just need other brothers and sisters to bounce that off of. We are a family in the context that we are brothers and sisters encouraging one another in the Lord as we see the day approaching. This is a fellowship, not the fellowship. It is a fellowship for your Christian walk to be a blessing, for us to be able to bless you and you be able to bless us, because that is a big part of getting through the trials and the tough times. We do want you to have that opportunity to reach out to us. You can call 972-445-0770. It's 972-445-0770. When you do that, Terrific T will answer the phone, and that will be terrific. You can text us at 214-210-8483. Right here, live on the show. 214-210-8483. Sometimes we get texts that are not very nice. I don't really respond to those. Just telling you. And then also, you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org, david@hemustincrease.org, which leads us to the website. Before we play the website music, I just want to let you know, finances are okay, but every day that goes by, they get okay less. And so if the Lord enables you and you want to be able to bless us in some of that giving, fantastic. We're not the kind of group that goes,
if you give us finances, we'll give you a magic super ball that if you bounce, it will keep bouncing higher and higher like flubber.
No. If you're giving, you're giving because you believe the Lord leads you to. Best we got, we'll just give you a receipt at the end of the year. It's all we can offer. Here it is, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Now, I want to point out that if you heard me use that flubber reference and you saw the flubber movie in black and white before they had color, you know how long ago that was. It's like I think it was like Fred McMurray was the original guy. And then I think Eddie Murphy did it, I think, after that. So I'm talking about when they didn't have any of that. It was really like basic. But, you know, hey, what do I know? I'm just an old chunk of coal, but I will be a diamond someday. Anyway, if you want to reach out to us, you can reach out to us in any of those ways. I don't think we have anything else that we have to do, do we? No? You good? All right. I want to get into this teaching because there is so much to cover, and it's very exciting, I think, to me for some of this stuff for us to cover. We are in Thessalonians in this particular teach, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Listen to some of this. This is fascinating. It says this in verse 13, this is why we constantly thank God, because when you receive the word that you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as a human message. I just want to stop right there before we get to the other part, which is just amazing. This is why we constantly thank God. You're going to hear me throughout all of the times that you've ever heard me on the radio never cease to remind you of Ephesians 5:20, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and also Romans chapter 1, where Paul goes, first, I thank my God. There is so much that people have going on and so many difficult things, and the Lord always gives us grace, always gets us through, always has mercy, always takes us to that next place. And there's a whole group of Christians that are like, well, you shouldn't be thanking God for everything because some of those things are bad. You don't thank him for this. You don't thank him for that. I think any person that faults in thanking God too much and having it be sincere is fantastic. And I'm pretty sure God's not up there going, I can't believe they thanked me for that. That's just kind of a weird thing to be opposed to be thanking God. But anyway, in this text, they say we constantly thank God. Now watch this, because we've talked about this before. Because when you received the word of God, that word in the Greek received is the same one in John chapter 1, verse 12. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the sons of God. That's where all those people that are like, well, it doesn't say you have to receive Christ. Yes, it does. Well, it doesn't say you can accept Christ. Yes, it does. And this text might be one of the more defining texts. It says, when you receive the word of God, and that's the gospel, which is all about Jesus, when you receive the word of God that you heard from us, you welcomed it. And let me explain to you that when somebody makes an invitation for somebody to make a decision for Jesus Christ, they have to receive it, they have to welcome it, they have to say yes. That's the whole point. And so it's a wonderful thing because here we find out it's not just receiving Jesus, which is a big part of our Christian walk. He lives in our heart by faith. The Holy Spirit lives in us as we are the temple of God through the Holy Spirit. But it is also this simple point. It's not just we say yes to Jesus, but we say yes to everything that God has written. We welcome the word of God. Some people are afraid to read the word because when they read it, they find that there might be conviction, or they find that there might be places that they're not living up to, or they're not getting to that right place. That's no different than Nehemiah chapter 8, where the people read the law and then the people were weeping and crying. And then the prophets, the Levites and Nehemiah and Ezra, they were like, don't cry. This is a day to rejoice. Why? Because even if the word convicts you, which it does, the great part about that is that your heart is sensitive enough to be convicted by the word of God, and the Lord's only correcting you because he loves you. So when you read the word of God and you come across a portion and you go, man, I am far from many things, but this, I might be the farthest from this. It's all right. You don't have to freak out. God knows you're far from that. Bring that before the Lord and go, you got to build me a bridge here because I don't know how I'm going to get here to this point. How do I do that? You're going to have to help me walk there. That's the purpose there of the scripture. It's not to sit there and just leave you in guilt. It's to encourage you and to motivate you to draw closer into the Lord and say, help me be like Jesus. And I know there's times where you read the word, and this happens to me too. I'll read the word and I'll go, yeah, I don't think I did that any of that this week. I'll look at it and I'll go, wow, right? But the Lord knows exactly that. And then instead of sitting there and making a big mountain or anything, I go, Lord, I need your help. I can't do any of this apart from you. I need to do all of this in you. Help me to get there. So instead of receiving the word and then going away weeping and beating your head against the wall, ask God to help you. That's why it's in the word, to stir you, to motivate you, to challenge you, to move you in that direction. But the coolest part about this isn't even the cool part. The cool part is, this is what he says. This is why we constantly thank God, because when you receive the word of God, you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as a human message. There's so many human messages. Remember the big camera shot? Andre Agassi, remember the big camera shot? Image is everything. Image isn't anything, because when you die, there is no more image. I'm going to make a lasting impression. My name is going to – your name isn't going to last past the beginning of the new heavens and the new earth. It doesn't work that way. There's only one superstar. His name is Jesus Christ. You either get on his boat and walk along on his path, or you don't. See, there's a human message, and the human message known to us because of the sin in the garden is all about self. But there's a divine message that says, nah, there's something greater, your creator. There is someone greater that would be your creator. It's not a human message. It's not a worldly message. It's not a media message. It's a message from God to the world. Dear human race, Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:21, love God. That's the message. That's why we're in the book. That's why we jump to it. That's why we get happy. That's why we welcome it, because it's a life-giving message. Take a short break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit, because after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Is the David Spoon Experience.
What's happening is the churches and educators and our government and everybody is too concerned about being politically correct. And what's happened is the walls have fallen down, and we need to rebuild them, and we need to build them back. And the only way we can do that is with God's people taking a stand.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I will say, especially in regards to the political correctness, it's just man's attempt to establish their own righteousness apart from God. And that's why it has so much confusion attached to it, that nobody can figure out what's going on, because it goes all over the place.
Well, the only hope for America is not the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. My hope is in God and his people taking a stand this coming election season. and let's get men and women in office. And again, I'm not telling people to vote for, but we need to take a stand for God's truth and his righteousness.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. I just want to thank you and extend a thank you to you for taking the time to come on the show, sharing with us, giving us that perspective. I appreciate it, and it was a privilege and an honor for me to have you on the show, sir. Thank you.
Thank you for inviting me. God bless.
All right. God bless you, too. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Pastor Franklin Graham. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, where there is a gnat flying around my head right here in the studio. Always fun. Lots of place for him to land on my head. I'm just saying, it's just like a open landing field there. Here's our first trivia question. Who told King Saul that obeying God's voice was more important than sacrificing animals? Dun, 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 dun. Who told Saul that obeying God's voice was more important than sacrificing animals? If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770. You can text in 214-210-8483. I got so much to cover. I'm just trying to figure out how to cover it all. We do have to do DNA. So you want to do a real quick DNA? We'll do that real fast. I just want you guys to recognize. I did actually hear, because I do have some media contacts, that there's some really weird stuff going to happen in like the next month. And it just, you know, they said, what do you think about that? And I did the same thing that we do on this show. It's like, what do I think about that? I think I'll operate in DNA. And they're like, what's that? Let me explain it to you. D, draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
No matter what you go through in life, even if the mountains fall into the sea, even if the world goes off course, stay close to the Lord. He's got more updated news headlines than you could ever dream of, since he is the one that creates events that shape the universe. And never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. The world wants you to be ashamed, so you won't share it, you won't say it, you won't believe it. That's a goal, actually, a tactic of Satan. You just got to be aware of it and say, nope, I resist that. I'm not going to fall into that. And then A, always be ready.
To serve,
because being there before the Lord, being somebody who's close and connecting to the Lord, doesn't mean you just fill yourself up every day and it's all spent on you. It's spent in his glory, his advancement of his kingdom, blessing other people. So it's like you just – I guess the way I always think of it is like a conduit or – you know, it's kind of like you're the in-between for that, and then the Lord kind of uses you and blesses them, and then you get blessed because you get used by God, and you see that they get blessed. So that makes sense, right? It's like it's kind of a weird way to say it, but okay, yeah, what can I do? Who told Saul that obeying God's voice was more important than sacrificing animals? Think about that. That's going to be our good our not good as good friend King Saul, who told him that, who was not a happy camper about the way he handled things. I'm going to get into the text in a second, but I just want to say this one thing, and I think this will really minister to a few people, and I just have that impression that the Lord wants somebody or me just to share it or whatever. But I was doing some of my studying yesterday, as you know, and I'm still in this radical PhD program, this doctorate, and actually it's kind of a strategic Christian ministry program is kind of the way to think of it. But as we're doing it, one of the authors that I reviewed his material on had something really fascinating to say, and I had to listen to it twice just to make sure I wasn't missing it. But he said in his book, and you know, I have a reader that reads it to me. His statement was, even if the Lord directs us in what the world would assume is a failing endeavor, if it's the Lord, you do it anyway, because it's not for the world to determine what the kingdom of God's successes are or are not. It is for God and God alone to establish that. But even if the direction that you are going into, the Lord's moving into, from the worldly point of view, seems like a failure, but you know it's the Lord, you do it, because God's purposes and plans are far greater than the minds of man. And it's just like, that is so good. Like, I've done things, and I thought, this is absolutely crazy, absolutely nuts, but time and time and time again, the Lord pulls something out, and you're just like going, wow. How impressive is that? So even if you don't fully understand this direction he's got you in or the things that you're doing, sometimes that happens. And from the worldly point of view, it looks like a failure. It looks like it's a loser. But if the Lord directed you in that direction, it's not. It's a winner, especially if you're being obedient before the Lord. Okay? So that's an encouragement for some of you out there. All right, let me finish off on this text, which is a wonderful, wonderful text. Don't forget our DNA, because I do know that there's some things coming down the media pipe, and it's just like, doesn't matter. Just stay close to the Lord. Just stay close to the Lord. Don't worry about it. All right, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. I'm going to review 13 and then go to the last half of 13. This is why we constantly thank God, because when you received the word of God that you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as a human message, but as it is truly is, the word of God. For those that are wondering, did Paul know he was writing Holy Writ when he was writing his materials? This will answer that question. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, he's like, look, I'm really appreciative that you're hearing what we have to say and we're communicating with you and you understand that what we're saying to you, it's not a human message, but it truly is the word of God. He knew what was going on. He knew there was a dynamic taking place, that what he was writing was powerful stuff at high, high levels, okay? Which is one of the reasons that God allowed him to have a thorn in the flesh. That was kind of that whole point. Then he says this, and this is the point, that this is where I know it's true, but I just need to do this better. He says this. He says, that you hear from us the word of God, you welcomed it not as a human message, but as it truly is the word of God, which also works effectively in you who believe. Now, the way that that Greek structure is, that could be you who believe in Jesus, you who believe in the word of God, you who believe in whatever. The point in that is, I think it's left that way on purpose so that you will understand that the effective working of God in your life comes through this element of you believing. You have to believe Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that he died on the cross, he was buried, and 3 days later he rose again, that he was seen by many, ascended up into heaven, then he return. You have to believe in the basic core truth of the gospel. But you also have to believe and use genuine faith when you're engaging yourself in the word of God. Because the word of God sounds fantastico, but without faith, it is meaningless. If you engage in the word of God, you read the word of God, then you walk away and you don't apply faith or belief to that word, it is not effective for you. We look at Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, and you find out that the children of Israel had things preached to them, but it says it did not profit them because the people did not mix it with faith. So when you have something preached to you, it's like, okay, great. That's a really great sermon. That's really great insights, really great word on application of the word. That's fantastic. If you don't actually believe it, it will never do you any good. You might as well have just watched Bugs Bunny. I mean, what's the difference? So the idea behind this is you have what you hear, you have to mix with faith. You think, well, how radical is that? It's as radical as it gets. This Christian journey is not this simplistic. I know you got these, you know, loons like John the Lennon dude who was like, yeah, Christianity is the religion is the opiate for the masses. To be a Christian in this day and age takes more courage. I've said it before and I'll say it again. And to live the way that God intends you to live, by giving up your life, by believing things that don't even seem right, by understanding that you receive by giving, you live by dying, and you see by believing, all of those are contrary to every world philosophy there is. Everything we do flies in the face of the world. That takes courage to say, yeah, I'm still going to believe that. And then you have to endure the insults, flat earthers. Okay, except Isaiah 40:22 says that God sits over the circle of the earth, which was 1,500 years before science knew it. Oh, sorry. See, this is the stuff that drives me crazy, because Bible believers would go, sure. But you still have to endure it, no matter who says it. Right? You just smile and go, not a clue. They have not a clue. It's all you can do. And I'm not saying that to be mean about it. You have to understand. You have to engage with the word of God in faith, or it profiteth thee nothing. You have to believe it. You have to use it. You know, in our opening, we say that spiritual truths that will help you if you use them. It's like, exactly. And if you don't, guess what? Won't do you any good. So when you read the next time and there's something that the Lord kind of challenges you in, or even sparks you in, kind of motivates you in, don't just sit there and go, wah, wah, wah. That's fantastic. Say, I'm gonna believe that. I'm gonna actually use faith and mix faith with this word. And when you do that, by the way, it's clear as can be, as stated in Scripture, the word becomes effective in your life. You might be thinking, well, I've tried this before. Do you believe? Because if you're using faith when you're engaging with the word, man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man, that is the key. Then it will profit you much, right? All right. I got to do trivia, right? I still have to do trivia? Okay. There we go. So when so if you hear a sermon, I just say, if you hear a good sermon, and you're like, yeah, that's really good. Yeah, I really like that. Okay, then don't walk out of the church and go, what was that? Use it. I don't care if you write it down. People are like, don't write in your Bibles. Write in your Bibles. Write so much in your Bible, you have to get another Bible. Or just get an electronic device, and then it wouldn't matter. All right, answer to the trivia question. Who told Saul that obeying God's voice was more important than sacrificing to animals? The answer is Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, when he said, to obey is better than sacrifice. Ooh, good portion right there. All right, we're going to take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, top of the hour. Don't go anywhere.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple. And there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media. And on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section. And it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Hey, jing-a-dee-jing, it's Dominic the Donkey, jing-a-dee-jing, the Italian Christmas Donkey, la, 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 la.
Oh, that is...
La,
yeah.
La, 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 la.
You asked for zany, my friend.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. So we, being not completely unlike, you know, Christmas Vacation in Chevy Chase and so on and so forth, we got a really big tree, slapped it up on the car. Of course, it scratched the car to no end. Remember, I'm Jewish, and I'm trying to follow the Christmas holiday. It's got nothing to do with my Christianity. I like Christmas. I like the season and so on and so forth. I have no problem celebrating any specific time, picking a time, and we're as close as we can be celebrating the birth of Christ. It's awesome. It's a great time of year. But you're talking about me fighting a tree, and I'm fighting the tree, and I'm fighting the tree, and I hack off a few branches. And unfortunately, what I hacked off with the axe wasn't enough. Because I was right there again, holding the Christmas tree with my feet on the door, trying to pull it in. Hey, you know what? The Christmas tree was not coming in. So you know what I did? I hacked off a few more pieces. But then, instead of just trying to pull the tree in, I hacked off a few more pieces. By this point, I have decided that Christmas is a pagan holiday that only people who are supporting Christmas presents have created, and Jewish people who believe in Jesus should not be celebrating Christmas, and I'm crashing the... And I've got the act up, and I'm crushing it, and I'm going to get this tree in, and you would not believe it, but after doing that for 15 minutes, I still could not get the tree in the house.